from the first chapter of Daniel, chapter 1. I know that if we were in the chapel and had Sunday school, there's one that we would sing, "Dare to Be a Daniel." It says, "Standing by a purpose true, heeding God's command, honor them, the faithful few, all hail to Daniel's band. Many mighty men are lost, daring not to stand, who for God had been a host by joining Daniel's band. Many giants, great and small, stalking through the land, headlong to the earth would fall if met by Daniel's band. Hold the gospel banner high onto victory grand, Satan and his host defy and choke for Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. Dare to make it known." Two brothers wanted to play in the Little League. As they signed up, the registrar was puzzled when, according to their papers, he noticed they were 6 months apart. "Your brothers?" he asked. "Yep," they answered. "But you're only 6 months apart," the puzzled official countered. "Well, one of us was adopted," said one of the boys. "Which one?" asked the registrar. "We ask our dad all the time," said the boys, "but he says he can't remember." Father loving his sons, making them accepted in the family. When we think of Daniel, and we've all read and heard about him, to think that he was one of four young men who were taken. And as Daniel 1 verses 1 and 2 says, "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God." Many of the nations, and if we think of the nation of Israel, how often they were led by God and kings and prophets to honor the Lord and serve him. But as we read through the Old Testament, we know that they often disobeyed. For a time, they would be following him and being obedient to him. But there are times when God had to, discipline them and show them that he's the one they needed to follow. So here in this time of Nebuchadnezzar, he took and besieged Jerusalem. And in the process, there were young men that were taken. Verses 3 to 7, "And the king spake unto Aspenas, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans." These children, young men, were not only to receive an education, but they were also going to be indoctrinated. Because it says, "in whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans." Obviously, these children were taught well when they were at home to have understanding in science, well-favored, skillful, cunning in knowledge. So they had that ability, and this is what the king wanted, people that he could train. And so it says, verse 5, "And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. To think that these young men were going to be there for at least 3 years of training, and the king was providing his provision to them. And then verse 6 says, among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And they wanted to give them different names. And I didn't realize this before, but verse 7 says, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, who gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, to Hananiah of Shadrach, and Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. And Daniel's name meant, God is my judge. And every time his name was called, it was a good reminder that one day he would stand before a holy God. Daniel, God is my judge. But the name that he was given, Belteshazzar, was the name of an idol. Bel, protect the king. And I didn't realize until reading through that this name Bel and other names of the other young men are mentioned in scripture. Isaiah 46:1 says, Bel boweth down, Nebo stoopeth. Their idols were upon the beasts and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy laden, and they are a burden to the weary beast. And in Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 1, it says, the word that the Lord spake against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet, declare ye among the nations, publish and set up a standard, publish and conceal not, say, Babylon is taken, Bel is confounded, Merodach is broken in pieces, her idols are confounded, her images are broken in pieces. Then lastly, Jeremiah 51:44, it says, I will punish Bel in Babylon, and I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he hath swallowed up, and the nation shall not flow together any more unto him, yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall. So instead of Daniel, God is my judge, his name was changed to Belteshazzar, Bel, protect the king. Hananiah, his name means Jehovah is gracious. But the name that he was given of Shadrach was the name of a Babylonian idolatrous god. And Shadrach means command of Aku. Mishael, his name means who is like God. The name he was given, Meshach, who is, what Aku, another, again, the Babylonian idolatrous god. And then Azariah, Jehovah is my helper. He was given the name of Abednego, servant of Nego, also called Nebo, which we read, a god of vegetation. So these young men, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, given these names by the king. And when they were offered the provision for these 3 years to be trained, food provided for them. But we notice in verse 8 that Daniel, this young man, was willing to take a stand. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. In the times that we are living today, we do face many challenges with this pandemic that we are going through. There's possibility times when we may be led to compromise, but we can take comfort and be encouraged by Daniel, who purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. But where did that purpose come from? A young man who was taken captive, how did he have the courage to stand up and honor his Lord? Obviously, he and the others were taught well. We read in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 8, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." When we take in the word of God, we ask the Holy Spirit to teach us, and we are responsible as we open God's word to take it in, to absorb it. We need to have him impress his word upon our hearts. And verse 7 of Deuteronomy 6 says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes." So their families taught them very well. And parents still today have an obligation to teach their children what it means to live for the Lord, how to serve him, and to encourage them to be reading God's word for themselves if they are able. "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." And it's not just from this verse. It's not just a one-time thing on a daily basis. It says, "Talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when they're walking by the way, before you lie down, opening God's word and reading it, when thou risest up, often in the morning. When I rise, I ask the Lord to guide my steps, direct my paths, because I don't know what a day is going to bring forth. And we don't know. And to know that we have that purpose, to know that we are able to trust him, to rest in him, to abide by his word, then we can have that confidence to go forth. Verse 9 says, "Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs." Proverbs 16:7 says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." And obviously, Daniel was in such favor that the prince of the eunuchs was willing to listen to him. But notice what he says in verse 10, "And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king." Even though Daniel found favor with this prince, the prince knew that he was going to be taken to task if the ones under his care were not well fed, were not being taught, were not going to learn. And so Daniel said this to him. "Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Verse 12, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. Let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. Daniel knew that what he was asking of the prince could be costly to him. And so he said, prove thy servants 10 days. And we find that it worked in Daniel's favor. Elizabeth Elliot once said, does it make sense to pray for guidance about the future if we are not obeying the thing that lies before us today? How many momentous events in Scripture depended on one person's seemingly small act of obedience? Rest assured, do what God tells you to do now. Depend upon it. You will be shown what to do next. Wise words from Elizabeth Elliot. Indeed, God blessed Daniel's obedience exceeding abundantly above beyond all he could have ever asked or thought. Next time you come to a spiritual, ethical, moral crossroads, ponder what Daniel's purposing in his heart on such a seemingly small matter. A moment of disobedience may seem small to us on earth, but it is huge to God and could have untold ramifications. 1 John 4:4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Daniel and his mates were willing to take a chance. And the Melzar, who was over the prince of the eunuchs, he was willing to take a chance as well. And for 10 days, this is what they had to eat. Principles. This is from Insight for Living. Inner conviction can overcome any outer pressure to compromise. Inner conviction can overcome any outer pressure to compromise. God-honoring convictions yield God-given rewards. These young men were faced with challenges to think that they had been taken along with many others, and yet willing to honor their Lord and take a stand for him. And we know as we read through the book of Daniel that indeed they did face many challenges. Challenges that perhaps we in our day would not be willing to accept. And yet they were. So verse 15 says, and at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. How God was honoring these young men. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. We know that as we read further on, that Daniel was able to go to his Lord. He was able to ask him what a dream was, and to take it back to the king and interpret it for him. We need to rely on our Lord. We need to be willing to face the challenges that come our way. But we know that we can't do it on our own. We need to trust that He will do what is right for us. We need to honor Him and obey Him. Verse 18 says, "Now at the end of these of the days that the king had said that he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. The king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king." Remember that these four young men were given different names. But as we read in God's Word, the Holy Spirit was pleased to have these men come. And it says, among them all was found none like. These are their Hebrew names: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. They stood before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. By being obedient to their Lord, by willing to take a stand, Daniel purposing in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. Someone has said, we need not only a commitment to holiness as a total way of life, but frequently a commitment regarding specific areas of temptation. He talks about three men. Job made a personal covenant not to look lustfully at a young woman, Job 31. One says, "I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid?" Daniel resolved not to defile himself with forbidden food, even though from the king's table, as we've just read. And in Ezekiel 14:14, it says, "These two Old Testament saints are commended by God himself as the most righteous who ever lived." Yet both found it necessary to make a commitment regarding some specific area of temptation. Daniel found his in his particular circumstances. Both he and Job responded with a commitment to obey God. They lived up to their convictions. I found it interesting that in my daily readings, I've been reading through Daniel, finishing off Ezekiel and Jeremiah. And so in Ezekiel 14:14, it says, for regarding Noah, Daniel, and Job, three striking instances of men who, for their integrity, were delivered from the ruin which fell upon others. Some have thought it strange that Daniel, a contemporary and still young, should have been classed with the two ancient worthies. But the account of him, as Daniel 2 shows, that by this time Daniel was a very remarkable man. The introduction of the name of a contemporary gives force and life to the illustration. There is in the order in which the names occur a kind of climax. Noah did not rescue the guilty world, but did carry forth with him his wife, sons, and sons' wives. He was willing to obey God. He was ridiculed. Yet, if it wasn't for Noah going into that ark, what would the world have been like? Daniel raised only a few, but he did raise three of his countrymen with him to honor. To Job was spared neither son nor daughter. We know the story of Job, how he lost all his possessions, his children. We don't know how God is going to work in our hearts, in our lives. But we can, even as Daniel did, we can purpose in our hearts to serve Him. When we think of these four young men, we need to ask ourselves, how will God use us today, tomorrow, next week, and beyond? Are we going to be willing to follow Him, no matter what the cost? Daniel and his companions were not willing to compromise. They didn't know what would happen, but they were willing to take a stand. And even we ourselves need to take a stand if we are going to follow our Lord and Savior. As mentioned, we don't know what a day brings forth. We don't know how God is going to work. I know that we've been praying for several of our chapel family, those who have been going through difficult times, those that have been going through illnesses and hurts. And some of the healing process seems to be taking forever. Speak of our own daughter. But we need to continue to trust the Lord and to know that He is going to make all things work out for His own purposes. And we can, like Daniel, purpose to follow Him. May we do so. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for Your word. We are thankful for men like Daniel, Noah. We think of Abraham, asked to sacrifice his son. We think of Paul taking under his wing Timothy, a young man, and how Timothy was an influence and was used of God. Each of us here today can be used of God. It will be in different ways, but I trust that we will just yield ourselves to the Lord and say, use me, and He will direct our steps. He will direct our paths. He will guide, and so we can be thankful. We praise You, Lord, in Your own most worthy and precious name. Amen.